Tonight we are discussing, as many of you know, the issue of abortion. And I think it pertains to Inyan HaDiyoma for various reasons. The most important reason, because we are all Jews, is that it's this week's Parsha. And the prohibition introduced in the Torah in the first of the sources is from Parshas Noach. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Afal Ubrin My Taimed Rabbi Shmuel Dichsiv Shafach Dam HaAdam BaAdam Damo Yishafech. A person is not allowed to pour blood of a Adam BaAdam Damo Yishafech. Ezu Adam Shu BaAdam Havi Omer Ze Uber Shmei Imo. The Gemara says a person who spills the blood of an Adam that's in an Adam is Chayev Misa and has the death penalty, and that's from this week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, after the story of the Mabul. This is in the Sugyan Sanhedrin and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara, if anyone wants to learn those Sugyas in the 7th Parak, a fascinating Parak, discussing all in great detail all of the halachos of the parshios that we're discussing in Bereishis in these weeks, the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So the Gemara tells us in that source, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a Bnei Noach, a non-Jew, who is involved in abortion, is obligated in the death penalty, obviously in a case where we can carry out that, and he is not permitted to do so. Another reason, aside for source number one in this week's parsha, is that we should be well acquainted with the sources when we go and approach the big choices that we have to make up in the upcoming election. And chas v'shalom, I'm not saying who anyone should vote for, but I just want everyone to be aware of the different poskim that one candidate is representing and the other. Obviously, everything is based on fact, and no one's going to distort the facts, like I'm sure we're all aware. So we just want to go through the facts and make sure that we know what the facts are. Perfect. So this is the Gemara that presents the prohibition of abortion for Bnei Noach. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us clearly what's the halacha when it comes to Jews, when it comes to Klal Yisrael. Is there a prohibition? Is it Damo Yishafech Zichayev Misa? The Gemara doesn't tell us. However, the Rishonim point out, before discussing whether abortion is prohibited, not prohibited, yes, not, and that is a lengthy discussion amongst the poskim, and just to give you in a nutshell, if you're coming here for Psak Halacha, I'm going to tell you right now the conclusion right now. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty Halacha Lamaisa. We're going to talk about the Sugyas, the Rishonim, the details, the Lumdis, and hopefully everyone else can now understand where the poskim and their psak are coming from, once we go through all the sugyas that the poskim deal with. And then it's just a lot of information just to go through all the poskim. There is a major debate, halacha lemaisa, for those who just want to know bottom line, between the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Moshe Feinstein about the issue of abortion. Now, it's not a debate across the board. There are times that everyone will agree that it's prohibited, and there are times that everyone will agree that it's permitted. Now, we have to discuss the different sources, what the Rishonim had to say about this topic. So, first thing we have to discuss is the Gemara only tells us these halachas when it comes to Bnei Noach. What about Jews? So, before discussing whether or not it's prohibited, permitted, the Rishonim point out, it's a fascinating comment to the Rishonim, but if you look at all the parshios of the Torah, there is something in the Torah called Dmei Vlados. If a person, by accident, or gets into a fight with a woman who is pregnant, and unfortunately causes a miscarriage, so then the person is obligated to pay money because he caused that damage. And that is what's called in the Parsha, Dmei Vlados. So the Rishonim point out that that's fascinating. You caused a miscarriage, and you're chayiv, you're obligated to pay monetary compensation. That must imply that you're not chayiv misa, and you're not going to suffer the death penalty if a Jew causes a miscarriage. Because we have a concept in halacha called Kimlei B'Derabba Mineh. There's a concept in halacha that it pertains to Beis Din, that when you have a punishment, let's say you did something that obligates you in the death penalty, or let's say you did something wrong that causes you that you now need to get lashes. You have a punishment, whatever it is. If I had some monetary obligation because simultaneous to the time to the action that caused the death penalty, so the Gemara says there's Kimlei B'Derabba Mineh, we only give you one punishment. We will give you the death penalty, but you can keep your assets and your Yorshim can gain from those assets. Or you get lashes, you're not going to have to pay the monetary payment. So the Rishonim say it's very simple. I know when it comes to Jews that you're not going to be obligated in the death penalty. Because the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim tells me that if a man walks up to a woman and causes a miscarriage, by whatever the story was, he has to pay money. So I can imply from there, I can derive that. Why not?
Because that's only by Mises Beis Din, right? But what if you're obligated in Karis? Then there's no Kimlei, and Karis is Karis.
So I can derive that I don't have Mises Beis Din.
Beis Din, right.
Okay, I'm not dealing with Karis. I want to know if the guy's going to die. Okay. And Kares should have been a machlokas in the Gemara, in Ksubis, in the third parak, and it's not a machlokas in the Gemara in Ksubis, so there's no Kares either. But the Rishonim wanted to derive that there was no Misa. There's no Kares either. So that's what the Rishonim present. When it comes to... So now we have a question. We know that there's no death penalty. Like the Rishonim made this logical deduction. Is it permitted or is it prohibited? If you look, fascinating Maharsha in the second source, I'm not going to read it inside just to save time, but the Maharsha says, you know what? I can tell you that there's a distinction between the Jews and the non-Jews when it comes to the issue of abortion, and I find it in the storyline of the Torah. If you look in Parshas Shmos, the beginning of Shmos, Paro, it's on the last of the sources, Paro says, if we go to the Psukim, Vayomer bi'aldechem esar yozer reisen al avanim im benhu v'hamisen oso v'mbasi v'chaya. Paro has a lengthy discussion. Vatirena mayados. Paro says to the mialdos, to Shifra Pua, he says to the mialdos, please kill all the male babies and keep the female babies. And the Vatirenes and Mayaldos is Elohim, Loasu, they didn't carry out what Paro said. Vatichayenes Hayaladim, and they kept them alive. Vayikro Amelech Mitzrayim Mayaldos, and he called them, he said, well, how do you now listen to me? Vayomalehen, Madua Asisen Adavar Azeh, why did you do this? Vatichayenes Hayaladim, I gave you a direct orders. You worked for me. Why didn't you kill all the kids? Vatomarna Mayaldos Aparo, Kiglokanashama Mitzrios Avrios, Kichayos Hine, Beterem Tavolena Mayudis Vialadu. We're not like every other Mitzri. I have a question. Why did Paro send these two women, these Jewish women? Paro had a secretary. Paro had many, many advisors that were Egyptian that he's been with for many, many years that he probably has a much, much better relationship. He can trust them much more and he knows they're going to carry out what he wants. So why is he sending them? Writes the Maharsha, as well as the Parshas Drachim, which is a Sefer Ala Torah, not only Ala Torah, Ala Shkafa as well, written by the Mishnah Melech, one of the commentaries on the Rambam. They both write the same idea. You know why? Because for Goyim, for a Mitzri, they'd be Chayav Misa. So he had to find someone that it wouldn't be problematic. So he went to the Jewish people, because by them abortion is not an issue. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we started off with is talking to the Gentile world. Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, that's the perek. So therefore, Paro's a lamdin. Paro knew shas. So Paro, this is a marsha. This is serious business. This is not jokes. Marsha says this on the Gemara. Marsha says Paro knew this, and that's why Paro sent Jewish women, because he wanted this chap.
So how do you understand that? If he's going to resist Dvar Hashem that Moshe brings down to him, he can stand up.
When it comes to his empire, so he can resist. If he didn't have to be over this,
It's a nice.
It's a real stretch.
All right. Okay. Dvar Hashem, he didn't have a choice, the Rambam tells us. He lost it. Here, maybe, here he had a choice still. Okay, I hear the point. I hear. Fine. So what we have to, what we're assuming up until now, what the Maharsha's assuming, is that it's really menakotze lakotze. It's two extremes. On the one hand, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, when you come to the Goyim, the Gentile world, and you deal with the issue of abortion, you're chayav misa. That's like killing a person. That's serious business. You're chayav misa. However, says the Maharsha, when it comes to Jews, it's not as severe. So it's not as severe. Does that mean that it's totally permitted? Or no? There might be some other prohibition. So let's look at source number 6. The Gemara discusses a woman who did something, transgressed a violation, that now Beis Din has to deal with her and carry out the death penalty. A woman, sometimes woman transgressed. It, most of the cases are with men. But the Gemara and Erechin talked away that a woman did it. So a woman had to get the death penalty. And the Gemara says, but there was an issue. This woman was pregnant. What do we do? Says the Mishnah in source number 6, Ha'isha sheyatza lahareg, ein mamtinen la'ad shetelet. We don't wait for her to give birth. We kill her. Says the Gemara, if you skip down to the Gemara, Pshita, why would you think to wait? Of course you kill her. We don't wait around in Beis Din. The Torah says not to do inui hadin, which is delaying the psak, carrying out the punishment. You don't want to delay. The guy's nervous. He's sick to his stomach. You don't want to delay it. You carry it out. You have to carry it out. Pshita. Gemara says, what do you think? Why does the Mishnah even have to tell me this? Gemara says, gufahi. It's part of her body. It's trichsalka daita chamina. Holvik siv kasher yashis alav baal ha'isha. Memona de balhu velo lifsidei kamash malon. Gemara says, a fascinating answer. Gemara says, yeah, you want to know why this Mishnah has to tell me this? Because I would think that you're causing a loss, a monetary loss to the husband. Because this is partly his assets. The fact the fetus is not just hers, it's also his. What did he do wrong? So how are you going to kill her? So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. You're still allowed to kill her. So the Ran in Chulin, in the Dape Arif on Daf Yutes, approaches this Gemara, as well as, if you look in source number 8, the Tosos in Nida, if you look at the first few words, Imtim Tzalomer Demutter Laharga Bebeten, you would see the obvious conclusion from this Gemara. Gemara doesn't even know what could possibly be wrong. Why would you delay carrying out the death penalty on this woman? Says Tosos, says the Ran, obviously, there is absolutely no problem halachically with a Jewish Beis Din, killing an ober, killing a fetus. That does not carry the same severity that the Gemara in Sanhedrin presented to us in the context of the Bnei Noach, the Gentile world. That is the obvious conclusion that Tosfos, on a simple way, because look at the Gemara. The Gemara said, Pshita. Gemara said, why would you wait? Is there any issue here? So the woman's pregnant. Okay, Emir Hashem, she'll have a baby. But what's the problem? Like, why would you even think to delay? That's the immediate reaction of these Rishonim based on the Gemara. The Chavis Yar, this is also found in the Tshuvas Maharit, in Simin Tzadites. Rav Matrani says, in the Tshuvas Maharit in Tzadites, he says, a guy, he was writing a tshuva about a guy who has to do an abortion for a non-Jew, and he's discussing, is there an issue? And he says, what's the issue? There's no problem. A Jew is allowed to do an abortion, and like the obvious Gemara on Erechin and Daf Zayin. The Chavis Yar, Rav Yair Bachrach, who is a Rav in the late 1600s, has a tshuva discussing the issue of abortion. And he says, wait, hold on a second. The Gemara, if you look carefully, the Gemara doesn't say pshita, and it doesn't say any reason. The Gemara says pshita, and it clarifies. Why is it so simple? Why is it so obvious that you shouldn't delay over here and you should carry out the punishment immediately? The Gemara doesn't say just pshita. The Gemara says gufehi. The Gemara says because we view this fetus as connected to the mother. So maybe it's somehow connected and the psak din on the mother should also apply to the baby as well. But it's not that we assume, no matter what, that there's absolutely no issue with the abortion process when it comes to Jews. There was an issue. The Gemara had to weigh the options. You can delay the psak din, or you can deal with the prohibition of hapolas ubrin, which is the Hebrew term for abortion. And the Gemara weighed that option, and that's what the Gemara answered, gufahi. But were it not for the fact that it was a part of that body, if I was in a regular scenario, walking into a hospital just to carry out an abortion, for no reason, the Chavis Yara writes, absolutely not. That is a bona fide prohibition, even amongst Klal Yisrael.
What month is she in this?
Oh, excellent question, Jerry. What month is she in? So, that is a tremendous debate amongst many of the poskim, that one can make a distinction, that Tzitz Eliezer makes a distinction. There is different distinctions made. Some make, for sure, some opinions in the poskim say the first 40 days, the Gemara calls the fetus Maya Ba'alma, so it's not even an organism yet, it's just liquid. Other poskim say that there might be a halachic difference between a shlish, which the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Hooker Ubra, the fetus is now recognizable, maybe now it's a living organism, and other poskim don't distinguish up until the baby's actually ready to come out. Some of the poskim suggest that, the Torah's Chesed, Reb Chaim Ozer, they have difference of opinion in discussing. I'd like to keep it simple, just based on the fact, no matter what date, you can carry the variables like you want, but no matter what date, there's either prohibition, no prohibition, or a serious prohibition, which we're going to get to. So the Chavis Yar says
that division is for abortion, or for this case with
the woman. That division is for abortion, according to many poskim as well.
You're
yes.
Saying there's a great likelihood of the child surviving. That's a common denominator in your whole shiur, right?
I'm not up to there yet. I didn't get up to. I'm now just discussing whether or not there's an issue to abort, no matter what the date is. If it's a living organism, no matter what, we're going to get to there.
But in this Gemara, it matters whether the woman who's supposed to be killed is in the first trimester or the third trimester?
It matters depending on the poskim that I just... They're going to suggest different things based on if they hold to that distinction or not. Yes. So, the Chavis Yara says, there is definitely a prohibition. When is the prohibition? It depends. Depends how you hold. I mean, there are differences of opinions. I'm opening that up. That's why we are not coming out with Psak Halacha. No one should take Psak Halacha out of this. It's a very serious question that has to be discussed privately with a Rav, weighing all the options and weighing all the difference of opinions. I just want to present to you the background. So the Chavis Yar says there is a prohibition. Which prohibition? What is the prohibition? It's clearly not Nisa, because he just says it's another type of prohibition. So the Chavis Yair, there the poskim suggests different options. The Maharit suggests that the issue is chavala. A person is not allowed to cut themselves for no reason. A person is not allowed to hit themselves. You're not allowed to bruise yourself for no reason. That is a prohibition in the Torah. Chovel ba'atzmo is prohibited. Person cannot. So if you were going to abort, so some of the poskim say that is the prohibition when it comes to Jews of chavala. You're not allowed to hurt yourself, so you look at the fetus as a limb, and therefore you are really hurting one of your organs, and that is the prohibition. Now it's interesting, if anyone chopped what I just said, I said the Maharit said that. If you remember from 5 minutes ago, when I quoted a Maharit, I said the Maharit said that there's absolutely no problem to abort a baby. Now, it's fascinating. If you do research in the difference of opinions in the poskim, one of the major discussions is a contradiction between the Tshuvas Maharit from Simin Tzadi Zion to Simin Tzadi Tes. You turn the page in the Maharit, and he says two different things. How is that possible? Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that Simon Tzadi Tess is a forge. It's not him. And everything that's made up, the Rishon that he quoted, it's not true. That's how, you know, that's, you know, some, you know, everyone distorts facts, I'm saying, even in Halacha. So you see, like, it could happen, there, it could happen here. So that's where Rav Moshe writes. So the Maharid, in the first tshuva, where he says it's prohibited, the other tshuva, he says, it's chavala, you're not allowed to be choval, this is an organ. However, the Chavis Yoyer, who we were discussing up until now, says, no, it's prohibited, but it's a different prohibition. What's the prohibition? Motzi zera levatol. A person cannot excrete semen for no reason. There's potential here to be a child. You cannot do that. And ultimately, if you're going to destroy a fetus, to kill a fetus, so that is, in essence, what you are doing, and that is the problem. Many of the Rishonim, this is a different shir, if you look in the Sugi Yevamis and Daf Yud Gimel, many of the Rishonim, it's discussion between Rashi and Tosos, 2 days in Tosos, are of the opinion that women are not obligated in this prohibition of Motzi Zera. They don't have semen, they have eggs, so maybe the prohibition doesn't apply. So if you accept the opinion of Rav Yair Bachrach, the Chavis Yair, the Tzitz Eliezer says if a person is in an unfortunate situation that they do get a heter and they are permitted to do the abortion, it might be better for a Jewish woman doctor to carry out the abortion and not a male doctor, because if the prohibition is like the Chavis Yair is presenting, so then the prohibition is Shifrach Zera, Motzi Zera Levatala. That prohibition, according to many opinions, does not apply to women. So you're saving yourself by having a woman doctor carry that out. Fine. So those are the prohibitions that are presented amongst the posts. However, just to jump ahead, now we are getting, this is what you alluded to, Jack, before, now we are getting to the crux and the tshuva of Rav Moshe and the shita of the Rambam. Let's look at the source number 3. Source number 3 is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that quotes a case in the Mishnah in Olos that is really going to be a major source of the rest of our discussion, and really a source, halacha l'maisa, coming out of this Gemara, whether or not abortion is mutter or not. Now, what we're suggesting up until now is even if you are is that there is a prohibition, but the prohibition, you know, there are certain times, let's say you accept the opinion of the Maharit, like we said before, that it's an Isser Chavala. So a person is allowed to be Chovel themselves if there is some necessity. Let's say I have to go under surgery. So obviously that's permitted. I'm allowed to be chovel myself, I'm allowed to cut myself if there's some tzorich, there's some refuah, there's some necessity that I have to do so. So that if that would be the case, if it would be, even if it would be prohibited to Jews, which we pointed out is a question, but even if you are of the opinion up until now that we're saying that there is a prohibition, however, you have to weigh. There could be many circumstances that prohibition could be removed and there could be a tzorich, like health. However, now we're going to change the story. Comes along, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is discussing in the 8th parak of Sanhedrin the issue of Rodev. A person is chasing after you. You are allowed to kill him. He's chasing after to kill you. You can kill him. Amar Rav Huna katan ha-Rodev nitan l'tzila b'nafsho. Not only can you kill an adult that's running after you, even a child, kasavar Rodev ein tzriach ha-asra. Obviously, you don't have to warn the person before you kill them, because a minor can't understand it. Loshna gadol v'loshna kata. Then the Gemara challenges this. The Gemara says, Esvei Rav Chisdal Rav Huna. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Olos. Yatza Rosho, listen carefully. Yatza Rosho, ein nogin bo. Lefisha ein dochin nefesh mifnei nefesh. V'amai. We just said that the din of Rodef, a person chasing after you to kill you, even applies to a minor. Right? So then why is it that the Mishnah in Olo says, if your fetus is causing some complications. The doctor walks into the delivery room and says, you're dying, so now you have a decision to make. The Gemara says, Yatsa Rosho, if the head already came out, ain't nogin bo. You cannot touch the baby. And before I have a discussion why it should have just said ain lahamis bo. Why ain nogin bo? So some of the Mefarshim are medayik, you can't even remove a limb, even if that would help the situation. You can't do anything. But it's an interesting language. But the Gemara asks, why is that true? If a katan runs after you with a knife, you're allowed to kill him even though he's a minor. So this is a minor also. And he's chasing your life away. And the Mishnah says no. Because you can't kill one person at the expense of another person. This is a person. The Gemara says, Va'amai, but he's a rodef. That's what the Gemara is challenging. The Gemara says, Shani Hasam, demishamayma karadfile. Gemara says, this guy's not a rodef. This guy, the Rabbonu Shalom made a gzera. The Rabbonu Shalom made an unfortunate situation. The Shamayim is what's rodef over here. This kid doesn't have a knife in his hands. What does he know? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, in the next source number four, Yotza Rosho, gives background, Be'isha macha leilu musukenes, an unfortunate situation, a woman's, in an unfiktani reisha, achaya posheses yadav chotkasa, umotziyasa leivarim, if the child did not come out fully, so then you are allowed to kill the fetus. The Kol Zman Shelo Yotza La'avir Olam says Rashi, most important line right here, Lav Nefeshu. Rashi says, a fetus before it comes into this world is not a living human being. Lav Nefeshu. V'nitin Lahargo, and you're allowed to kill him. And save his life. Aval says, Rashi, the Gemara says, Yatsarosho, once it comes out, the head comes out, like we just said, ain't no gimbo lahargo. You're not allowed to kill him. Why? The havalei kli yilud. The ain't dochen nefesh b'mnei nefesh. Because now you're dealing with a human being. So you can't kill this person, because why is he any better than his mother? Ain't dochen nefesh b'mnei nefesh. The problem is the Rambam. Look at the next source. The Rambam says as follows. The Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach says, "Hareiz a mitzvah lo saseh. There is a lo saseh shelo lachos al nefesh harodif. Don't have compassion for someone who's chasing after you to kill him. Don't have compassion for such a person. He's evil. Lefichach horu chachamim. Therefore, our rabbis taught us, sha'obra shehi maksha leled, a woman who's having complications in childbirth, mutter lachlo chaober." You're allowed to kill the fetus because this is an ober, and you should not have any compassion. This is a rodef, and you should not have any compassion on a rodef, says the Rambam. And this is how the world works. Sometimes the mother's going to have to die if the child's head already came out.
I thought prior to a certain age, the child is not necessarily going to survive. A mother will definitely survive.
Yeah, but it's a nephew.
So we'll get to that. Before we get to that, let's get to that. We're going to talk about that. However, says the Rambam, yeah, should have a better question. This Rambam makes absolutely no sense. For two reasons. What did the Rambam say? Why are you allowed to kill a fetus that didn't take his head out yet? Why? Because he's a rodif. You know what? The Rambam just said the opposite of the Gemara.
That's right.
The Gemara said that he's not a rodif. The Gemara says, Mishamayma karadfe. So the Rambam didn't accept the Gemara. We have to explain that. The Rambam said the opposite of the Gemara. The Gemara says, this guy's innocent. What do you want for this guy? And furthermore, the Rambam's even more difficult. If he's actually a rodif, and the Rambam's not going with the Gemara, so when Yotzer Rosho, why is the Rambam saying it's permitted?
That's the shiny husband.
He should still... It's a Kol Shekin. If that's Mishamayim Kor, if that's not a rodif, so then Kol Shekin, this is not a rodif. It's like...
No, it's different.
Why?
Because once his head is out...
Right.
Right? Then it's Mishamayim. Before that...
So let me ask something. So beforehand, he's rodif. So when he's a fetus, he's an evil guy. When he takes out his head, now we have to have rachmanis on this guy.
Not necessarily an evil guy.
Why did the role they've changed?
Something that's going to kill the mother.
Why did the role they've changed? It's always
but
killing him.
It's a role day.
Why?
This is not necessarily.
Why not?
What Rambam is saying is not necessarily in contradiction to the Gemara.
You're right.
Because even the Rambam says once he sticks his head out, ball game's over. Now you can't touch him.
And the Gemara said not so.
The Gemara said once he sticks his head out, you can't touch him.
You're right. The Gemara said that. You're right. So the Rambam's not an explicit guy. The beginning of the Rambam's, so the Gemara said he's not a Rodef. The Gemara says Mishamayim Karadfei. Rashi explains the Gemara.
Only
Rashi says,
his head out,
but why, logically, why should that be? You're not explaining why that should be. You're right. That's true. But you have to explain why. If a guy's a Rodef, it doesn't make sense. Why should it be a Rodef now and not a Rodef then? If anything, I would think the opposite. A guy's more innocent when he's lesser of a being. Here, I could hear he's a person. Maybe he's a Rodef. This and that. What's the Havana? I hear the distinction. There is distinction. I'm going to go with that. But you have to explain.
That's not a question on the Rambam only. That's what I think Jake is saying. It's also a question on the Gemara.
What's the question on the Gemara? No. The Gemara doesn't have, because the Gemara, look at what Rashi says. The Gemara says, you know why you kill the first person? That's a simple Hezber. Because he's not even a Nefesh. Ah, now you're going to tell me you're dealing with Ein Doch and Nefesh Bebe Nefesh. Now you're dealing with a person? That's not a Rodef. The Rambam says the opposite. The Rambam says, no, you want to know why a fetus, and this is the exact point I wanted you guys to get. You know why the fetus is not, you're permitted to kill him? Not because Ein Doch and Nefesh, not because he's not a Nefesh like Rashi says. He Vada is a Nefesh. You know why? He's a Rodef. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't say because he's not a Nefesh. The Rambam doesn't go with Rashi on this. The Rambam says he's for full-fledged Nefesh. The Rambam says, but this guy is like a Rodef. He's like a guy running with a knife. So then the questions are twofold. First of all, then why doesn't that carry through? Also, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Rabbi Yehuda, they ask on the Rambam, why doesn't that carry through also when that kid sticks his head out? And also, why is the Rambam going against the logic of the Gemara? Okay, you want to tell me there's a distinction over here, not the timeline, fine, but the Gemara gave a rationale. The Gemara said a logical thing. What's this guy? What this guy didn't do anything wrong. Mishamayim. So why doesn't the Rambam accept that idea of Mishamayim? So I'd like to present to you, we have very little time left, I'd like to present to you the Shita of Rav Chaim in explaining the Shita of Rambam. And already you should see where we're going, which I think, Tzvi, is exactly the point that you just made. The Rambam does not say like Rashi. The Rambam does not say that a fetus is not a nefesh. The Rambam thinks it is a nefesh. The Rambam says when you are involved in abortion, you are dealing with a very serious prohibition. Not only Zera Levatala, not only Chavala, no. The Rambam holds that this is Ritzicha. When you abort this baby, that is Ritzicha. And you know what? The Rambam says, you know what your only way out of killing this fetus is? If that fetus is a Rodef. Because just like you can kill a Rodef in general, so too you can kill this fetus, which is a Nefesh, and has a Shem Rodef. But like we said before, A, that's against the Gemara, and B, why shouldn't that carry through when the kid sticks his head out? Reb Chaim says as follows, and this is a little lumdish. Reb Chaim says, the Parsha of Rodef has two Chidushim involved in it. When I'm running after a guy, the Torah says, you are allowed to kill me and someone else is allowed to kill me. Why? Torah says, because you've got to save his life. He's chasing after him, an innocent guy. Save the nirdaf. Save his life. Okay. However, there's a problem. Offsetting the parsha of Hatzolas HaNirdaf is an issue. In general, the halacha is, Ein Dochen Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. We don't kill one person at the expense of the other. So how are you going to kill this Rodef? So on that, the Torah answers another parsha and says, this is not a normal Nefesh. This is not a good law-abiding citizen. This guy has a Chiyav Rodef. This guy has a Psak Din from Bezdin as if we are taking him into court. paskening that he's chayev misa, and that's why there isn't a problem to kill him of ein dochen nefesh b'pnei nefesh. Because this isn't a normal nefesh. This is an evil guy. So you see what? There are stages of the chiddush of Rodef. On the one hand, the Torah says, we got to save the nirdaf. There's a difficult situation over here. He's about to die, chas v'shalom. And we got to save him. I don't mean to pick on you because you gave me a hard time. We got
to
save him.
I'm used to
We got to save him. We got to save him. So the Torah says, okay, let's save him. But then we have a problem, the Gemara says. Ein dochen nefesh b'pnei nefesh. You can't just go around killing people because you want to save something. Just because the Parsha of Rodef tells you, hatzalas hanirdaf, doesn't allow you to kill other people by doing so. You got to do whatever Hatzalah can do. Then the Gemara says, no. But you know what offsets the issue of Ein Docha Nefesh B'Pei Nefesh? You know what offsets that problem and allows you to kill the person? Because he's holding a knife. Because he doesn't only have the Parsha of Hatzalah, he also has a Psak Din, an Onesh, a Chi of Rodef, because he's an evil guy. Reb Chaim says, these two Parshios don't always have to exist. You can split between the two. Explains Reb Chaim, when the Gemara said, Mishamayma Karadfi, so we were all assuming up until now that what that means is that there's no Rodef over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's making the Cheshbonos over here. He's not doing anything. He's an innocent baby. You know what Reb Chaim says? That's not true. He is still a Rodef. Mishamayma Karadfi. He has a shame rodef. What is his shame rodef? That you now are permitted to save the mother. Hatzalas hanirdaf. There is a parsha here that we have to call hatzalah. Hatzalah means save the mother. Wait a second. When there's a parsha of hatzalah, the first part of this issue of rodef, there's an issue that offsets that conclusion. Ein dochen nefesh b'pnei nefesh. So you know what the Rambam says? Yeah, this is a rodef. You really should save the mother. But there's a problem. You can't kill the fetus if it's a nefesh. So that's what the Rambam's telling you. The Rambam's telling you, yes, this person is a rodef, and the parsha of rodef does apply. However, we have to start asking our questions. We have to follow through. What is the halacha when it comes to a rodef? Well, you have to save the nirdaf. Who's the nirdaf? The mother. Okay, but there's a problem. We can't just go around killing people when we save the nirdaf. Ein dochen nefesh b'pnei nefesh. Yeah, but in usual, you have a guy who's holding a knife that you say, but he's a chiyav rodef. He's holding a knife. He's an evil guy. Over here, Reb Chaim says, you don't have that second aspect. You don't have a chiyav rodef. That's what the Gemara is saying. The second part of the parsha of rodef, of a chiyav rodef, doesn't apply in this situation. So you know what that means, says Reb Chaim? My obvious conclusion is what the Rambam tells me. When it's only a fetus, and it's not on the same level as the mother, so I have hatzalas hanirdaf, I'm doing whatever I can to save the mother, but over here, can I kill someone? No, you can't kill someone. There's no chiyav rodef. But if that person's not a full nefesh, so then you can kill them. So then the parsha of Hatzalah alone allows me to kill this not full organism that's not as valuable as the living mother. However, the Rambam tells me once this is a full-fledged living being, and the only difference between the mother and the child is 20 years of age, but they are equal, nefesh mipnei nefesh. So now you're dealing with a nefesh. The only part of the parsha of rodef that can allow you to kill a full-fledged nefesh is a chiyav rodef. Is a person who has evil intentions, that's chasing, that needs a psak din from Beis Din, not only of hatzalas hanirdaf, but of chiyav rodef. So therefore, says the Rambam, Mishamayma karadfe, and that's why once he becomes equated to his mother, that's going to be insufficient to now carry out and kill this child because he doesn't have all the aspects of rodef,
All he has is the Hatzolas HaNirdof aspect, but he doesn't have the Psak Din on him of the Chi of Rodif, because he's not running with a knife. He's Mishamayma Karat Fileh. So the Rambam and Reb Chaim is telling us the Rambam had a totally different understanding of this Gemara. We're not throwing out that a fetus is a Rodif. A fetus is a Rodif. However, only one out of the two chidushim of the Parsha of Rodif, namely, Hatzolas HaNirdof, as opposed to the Chiyav Rodif, could apply in this situation. Hence, the distinction of the Rambam between an ober, a fetus, and a child, that the face came out. And that is why, and it's all, the Gemara never rejected, says the Rambam, the concept of Rodif, and we hold it halach l'maisa. So what do you see from this? Comes along Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe is a halachic sefer. In this tshuva, he quotes Reb Chaim. He says, you know what? Look at Reb Chaim. Don't give me, says Reb Moshe, don't tell me, ask me questions on a Rambam and now permit abortion just because you don't understand the Rambam. He says, because if you look in Reb Chaim, you can have pshat in Rambam. So don't tell me. Reb Moshe obviously was dealing with some people that wanted to base the heter off the Rambam. Reb Moshe says, no. Take the Rambam literally. Work on the pshat of the Rambam. But at the end of the day, you know what you're going to come out, says Reb Moshe? You're going to come out that Rodif, that Hapalas Ubrim, abortion according to the Rambam, is the prohibition of Ritzicha. And that's something Rav Moshe says you have to take very seriously. Ad Kedei Kach, that Rav Moshe said, if you don't know for sure that this kid is killing the mother, if you're not sure she's going to die, Rav Moshe, and this was a case in Yeshiva, Rav Shechter told me, he got the Shaila years ago. It was actually, I found out, a Rebbe of mine who the Shaila happened to. And they had to discuss it. It happens to be, he said, he shared it. There was a Rebbe's meeting that day. That they weren't sure if the mother was going to die. Rav Moshe Paskins, that's not a Rodef. Rodef is, you know, the person's going to kill the person. But if the Rambam's telling you that this is the Isser of Ritzicha, and the only way to counteract that is through the Parsha of Rodef. So you got to know, says Rav Moshe, Rodef Vadai. Shlomo Zalman suggests that might not be the case. Other poskim are not so convinced with Rav Moshe. Again, we're not paskening this. These are serious shilas. And that is what I wanted to bring from the Rambam. If I can go a little, do I have, yeah? Anyone who has to leave, please leave. I just want to, can I just catch you at the end? I just want to extend anymore. Anyone who has to leave, not a problem. I want to continue on this route. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, who is of Panovich, has a fascinating explanation. Yeah?
We'll dive in here.
Okay, great. Has a fascinating explanation based on this idea of Reb Chaim. The Gemara tells us, once, the Mishnah in Olos tells us, once the head comes out, so then, Ein docha nefesh bepei nefesh. Then you have two people that are on equal footing. However, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky writes, if you look at the Me'iri quotes from his Rabbanim, that's all true when you're dealing with the doctor, when you're dealing with an external person. However, says the Me'iri, a chiddush, that the mother herself has the ability to kill the baby even after Yatzar Rosho. How could that be? Ein docha nefesh bepei nefesh. This guy's innocent. Mishamayma karatvi. This guy is just from a messenger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to kill him now? How could the mother kill the baby? So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says, if we take the analysis of Reb Chaim, and we understand that when the Gemara said, Mishamayma karatvi, it doesn't mean like Rashi presented, that it's not a rodef. We're not backing out from Rodef. It is a Rodef. However, it has part of the Parsha. It has the Parsha of Hatzolas HaNirdof. One could save the Nirdof. However, you have the issue of Ein Docha Nefesh Bepei Nefesh. Says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, that issue of Ein Docha Nefesh Bepei Nefesh, the Me'iri is telling you, that applies to the doctor. That applies to someone coming in to save the day. He has a toss-up. The mother, the baby, the mother, the baby. This baby, the head's already out. Who are you going to pick? However, when it comes to the mother herself, since this baby actually has a shame rodef,
even if it only has half the parsha. So then she could say to herself, someone that's coming to kill me, I have the right to kill. So therefore, because of her own Hatzalah Sanirdaf, she is an exception to the rule, and she is allowed to save her own life. Abala Hargacha, like the Gemara says, a person comes into your house and wants to kill you. Abala Hargacha, Hashke Matala Harga. That is the case of a Baba Bachteris. The Torah talks about a person digging into the house. He's coming in to steal your property in your house in the middle of the night. He's going to meet you on the way. Habala Hargacha, you have the right to save your life. Hashke Mata Lahargo, right? You know what? Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's what the Rav Shlomo Rozovsky. Shlomo Zalman writes, in that case of Habala Hargacha, the Gemara even talks about a son that's coming into his father's property. A son that's coming into his father's property. The Gemara says, if the father's coming into the son's property, the father's not going to kill the son. The son coming into the father's property, all right, we can hear, you know, it depends on how the day was. So the Gemara says, you can discuss it, yes or no. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, one second, you're allowed to kill the son? It's for sure at least a suffix. There's a question whether or not the son's going to kill you. So therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman addressed Rav Moshe's psak originally, that even in a case where the baby might be killing the mother, so maybe one could suggest, based on this Gemara, that even a suffix is something valuable to deal with, and that we can save the mother even if we're not 100% sure, like the Ben Eitz Aviv, that you can save. Okay, let's wrap things up. Basically, what we presented, do you mind if I afterwards, just because it's going overtime? What we presented up until now were three major approaches in the poskim, whether or not it might be totally mutter, some opinions even in the Rishonim. Most of the opinions are there's definitely some prohibition. However, one has to discuss, it might be some other prohibition, whether it's chavala, motzi, zera levatala, there might be a distinction between a man and a woman, like we discussed, or Reb Chaim, Reb Moshe, and I have more proofs that Reb Moshe brings, but I'm not going to go into them, that this is a full bona fide Ritzicha. This is murder. This is not just Usser, this is Ritzicha. Who cares? If it's Usser, it's Usser. The Rabbi Yudin told me I can't do it, who cares what the reason is? So you want to know who cares? What happens if you're in a life and death situation? What happens if this is a very serious situation, that other prohibitions in life and death situations, pikuach nefesh, we're allowed to violate? We can be machal Shabbos to save a person's life. But what happens if I want to abort? What happens if I'm going through chemotherapy? What's the case there? What happens if I'm going through chemotherapy, chas v'shalom, and I'm pregnant? Nebuch case. God forbid. But what's the din there? Am I dealing with some other prohibition? Like chavala, like zera, that motzi zera levatala, that I could suspend the iser when it's pikuach nefesh? Or am I discussing a very serious issue of ritzicha? And the only way I can get around that, like the Rambam saying, is if this baby is a rodef. Now, if the baby's fine, the fetus is fine, just I have an external problem that I can't get chemotherapy when I'm pregnant, that's not the baby chasing after me. And that's something much more serious that one has to discuss, and we're not going to discuss that anymore. I just want two more points, if you give me the time. What happens, just once we're on the topic already, what happens if, yeah, okay, time. What happens if the baby is for sure going to die? They're both going to die if you don't kill the baby. What's the din then? The baby is going to die regardless. That's the case. The scenario is the doctor walks in, this baby's going to die. So what's the case then? Is it the same halacha? So let's look. So Reb Kiva Eger quotes from the Tshuvas Panim Me'iros that he's not sure. He thinks that you are allowed to abort, but then he says, V'tzarach in l'dvar. Why would one say yes? Why would one say no? So if you look back in source number 4, Rashi writes, fantastic. Rashi writes, the Mishnah tells us, if the head came out, it's a problem.
right? Because ain't docha nefesh b'bnei nefesh. All right, we discussed the lumdus already. But practical, what's the halacha? Head comes out versus not head comes out. Head comes out, that's going to be an issue. Yotzer Ava Yotzer Rosho, says Rashi in the end of the second line, ain't nogem bo lahargo. Then we can't kill him. Why? The havalei ki yilud. He's a full living being. Ve'ein docha nefesh b'bnei nefesh. These are two equal beings. Says Rashi Vim Tomer, I have a question. Maisa de Sheva ben Bichri. There was a story that Sheva ben Bichri was running away and he ran into a city. Hine rosho mushach elecha. They came, the general came and he said, what's going on? They said, we want Sheva ben Bichri. The people of the city said, take him. Here's his head. The dachu nefesh mipnei nefesh. You see that when it was the whole city that was possibly under siege, if they weren't going to give up Sheva ben Bichri, so they were allowed to do so. So why is that any different than here? Dachu nefesh mipnei nefesh, asks Rashi. You see that you are allowed to pick one over the other. Answers Rashi, you know the distinction? Hasam mishum da'afilu lo masruhu lo hayinerag bi'ir kishiyet v'seno yoav v'heinerag nima. You know why? Because over here, he was dead anyway. And they were both going to die. So if that's the case, you see, in such a situation, like Sheva ben Bichri, dochim nefesh mipnei nefesh. Then, even if the head came out already of the mother, you can actually still kill the uber, still kill that child in order to save the life. So why does the Panim Meiros even have a question? It's obvious. Why does he end off? He says, I think this is mutter, like Rashi tells me. However, he says, v'tzarechian. So you know why? I think he's v'tzarechian. Because Rashi goes on. Rashi gives a second possibility. Rashi says, inami? Maybe this case was different. Because you know, Sheva ben Bichri was actually a horrible guy. He was more of a malchus. So if that's the case, that changes the story. And this child, this fetus, is not a morid b'malchus, and then you don't necessarily have the ability, even after the head came out, to kill the baby as a living being, even in a case where they're both going to die otherwise. So, we have the halacha. We went over time a little bit. We discussed the different possibilities. Yes, no, maybe, mutter, possibly. The distinction we pointed out from the Rishonim at the beginning of this year, that there's no question that a Jew, even if it's Ritzicha, is not going to suffer the death penalty if he does abort. Now that's a question you might want to think about. Why is that so? If Rav Chaim is correct, if Rav Moshe is correct, that we are dealing with Ritzicha and therefore we have to take this with very serious glasses and goggles when we decide what to do in certain situations, so then why isn't our punishment just as severe as a Ben Noach, like we started in the first source? So I'd like to suggest possibly another idea of Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, just very briefly, which is the idea that comes out of a few Rishonim of Makos, is that when a person is killed, it's not only a punishment. When a person is killed for the prohibition of murder, right? So you would think that the reason why he's killed is because he violated the Isser, the prohibition of murder. Just like he'll be killed if he's Mechalel Shabbos, so too, if he killed, he's also obligated and has to suffer the death penalty. It could be the Chi of Misa when it comes to Ritzicha is because you owe it to that person. It's because there's something that these are two living beings and you owe it to him. You took his life, now we're going to take your life. So if that's the case, that might only be when your person, actually it's a living being when it comes to Jews, and not only an uber. And it's not, we don't look at it in the same vein. However, our derech ha-machshava, and this is what we're going to close, if we go back to the original story, our derech ha-machshava, why is there a distinction between Jews and non-Jews when it comes to abortion? When it comes to the death penalty, everyone agrees. When it comes to the prohibition, we just discussed it
during the whole shir, the possibilities, but why is there a distinction? So let's look at the response of the Mialdos to Paro. Vatomarno ha-Mialdos el Paro, ki lo kanashim ha-Mitzriyos ha-Evriyos, ki chayos heino biterim tavoe le'en ha-Mialdos v'yoladu. I'm sorry, let's go back a second. Paro came back calling them on speed dial. What are you doing? I gave you specific orders. Why did you disobey? What does he write? Why did you disobey? He doesn't say, why did you disobey? And you didn't kill them? He writes, Vatichayeno es hayiladim. The Chasam Sofer writes, in Torah's Moshe, on this parsha, a fascinating comment. Vatichayene, I would understand. You want to give me a whole shir, says Paro. You want to prove to me that even when it comes to Jews, it's prohibited to do abortion. So fine, I can hear the shtickle Torah. I understand Reb Chaim. I see it in the Rambam. It's Ritzicha. But the Chasam Sofer says that wasn't what Paro asked them. What I asked you was Vatichayene, says. You didn't only save them. You didn't only take them out. You gave them Kedusha. You dealt with them in a certain way that gave them Chiyas, that gave them life, that gave them spirituality, writes the Chasam Sofer. Why did you shtup it to me? Why did you give it so hard? Why did you not only listen to me, you gave them Kedusha? You want to know what the answer to the Paro is? Exactly the distinction of abortion when it comes to men and women. You want to know why? Because we have a different view on life. We have a view on life exactly what the Mialdos were saying. You see, a life, just as an organism, just as a being that the heart beats, that's not involved in Torah and mitzvahs, that's not life. That's what the Mialdos were telling Paro. You see, if you're only an Uber, and you can't perform, you can't carry out Kedusha, you can't be makdish, the mundane, the daily reality, you can't be involved in Torah and mitzvos, because that's not the same level of life. And therefore the Mialdos said, if we're going to go in here, and we're going to disobey Paro, so obviously we're going to do it right. We're going to give them Kedusha. We're going to vetachayena in the positive sense. We're going to give them life, because that's what a Jew when he's born is. And that's the distinction of an Uber of a Jew, a fetus of a Jew, and a Yalud, and a baby. A person that now has the ability to attain Kedusha, to run after mitzvahs, to run after the world in a tahar dikah way, that is the distinction, and it's not just a physical being that walks around this world that now is just went from a different stage. They had a heart, they had at one point all of the organs when they were covered in this box, and now they come out, and that same living organism hasn't changed. That's what life is. But according to us, that's not what life is. Life has a totally definition. Life has a definition of va techayeg. Thank you very much.
Good.